Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A Closer Look True Crime Podcast, or welcome if you are new. Today, we're going to be talking about a case that's not really like any other that I'm going to be covering. I feel like I say that every week, but this one is specifically different because it's not a missing person or a murder or like one event that happened. It's like a whole psychological experiment that I just find absolutely fascinating and like all the history behind it and everything like that. So we're going to be talking about the Stanford Prison Experiment. It took place at Stanford University in 1971 from August 14th to August 20th, so it only spanned 6 days. The plan was for it to be much longer, but that didn't end up happening because they had to stop it, which I will talk more about later. Professor and psychologist Philip Zimbardo wanted to conduct an experiment to see the psychological effects of perceived power and how people would react when one person was dehumanized and had no power and the other had full control over them. So he decided the best way to pull this off was to set off a makeshift prison in the Stanford University's basement and have people in the experiment playing prison guards and then people being prisoners. He set up fake jail cells, had the guards in military uniforms and silver reflective glasses so that they wouldn't be able to see eye to eye with the prisoners, and just to like separate the groups even more. Prisoners were in inmate jumpsuits, and he even had a small solitary confinement room that had no light, no sound, anything like that, no windows, which would be very psychologically confusing and damaging for whoever spent some time in there. He interviewed 75 possible candidates and chose 24 men to be part of the experiment. The candidates would be paid $15 a day, which I know doesn't sound like very much, and it isn't really, but it's worth about $115 American nowadays. And most of them saw this as a fun summer job. They, for some reason, thought that it would be more fun than just having a regular job, so this is what they decided to do. They all took psychology tests to make sure they didn't have any pre-existing mental health conditions that would affect the results, just to make sure they were all on an equal playing field. Zimbardo also decided to only use men to try to make the numbers a little bit more accurate. He wanted to have them all on an equal playing field, so he just chose one gender and rolled with it. He randomly split up the candidates into guards and prisoners, and the experiment began. The plan was also that Zimbardo would never be a part of the experiment. He would be in the prison the whole time as a psychologist, but he was not supposed to be in character, and he was just supposed to supervise everything and make sure it was all going okay and be like this one person that everyone could go to if they had concerns. And before I talk about the experiment, I would just like to mention that everyone involved wanted to be a part of the experiment and knew that it was fake and that it was actually an experiment. So Zimbardo was never trying to trick them into anything. They did, however, blindfold them when they took them down to the makeshift prison, so none of the prisoners actually knew that it was Stanford's basement. The prisoners' names were also taken away, and they were instead given numbers to help further dehumanize them. So they now would have no identity and no freedom and have this other person in complete control of them. They started off the degradation process immediately, and just to make it as realistic as possible, this happens in a lot of prisons where they strip and humiliate them before sending them to their cells. So on the first day, nothing really went wrong and everyone was still aware it was an experiment, aware that it was not real, perfectly fine. But on day two, that's when things started to take a turn and get a little bit more interesting. A large majority of prisoners decided to barricade themselves in their cells using mattresses so the guards couldn't like watch them and yell at them and everything like that. And the guards didn't take this very well. One guard in particular named Dave Eshelman decided that it was his responsibility to stir up the pot and make things a little bit more interesting and realistic.
I arrived independently at the conclusion that this experiment must have been put together to prove a point about prisons being a cruel and inhumane place. And therefore, I would do my part, to help those results come about. I was a confrontational and arrogant 18-year-old at the time, and I said, somebody ought to stir things up a bit here.
So he started treating them really badly, like an actual prison guard, and the other guards started following as well. And the prisoners obviously weren't super happy about this and started acting out and rebelling even more. The prisoners were also starting to get way more confused and mentally damaged as time went on. It also didn't help that they weren't really getting good sleep. One of the things that Zimbardo wanted to do just to further like mess up their sleep schedule and confuse them was to wake them up in the middle of the night and do meaningless labor such as scrubbing toilets, mopping, etc. And since there were no lights in the prison, they couldn't tell if they were being woken up in the middle of the day, they couldn't tell when it was night, they couldn't tell like when they were sleeping, and it really started to damage their mental state because randomly being ripped out of deep sleep is super damaging and prevents you from getting like good REM sleep, and it's just not good for you. Eventually, prisoner 8612 wanted to leave, and obviously, since it was an experiment, all members were allowed to leave. So 8612 went up to Zimbardo and asked him to leave, and instead of acting like a professor and a psychologist, at this point he was kind of taking the role of a prison superintendent, which was not the plan whatsoever. He told 8612 that he would be happy to move him to a different section with guards that wouldn't harass him as much. And so he didn't really say, no, you can't leave, but he also didn't, he kind of just diverted the question and didn't really answer. So 8612, being sleep deprived and confused, took this as, no, you can't leave, but I can move you. So he started telling everyone else that it was no longer an experiment, that they were wrong, that they were being told that it was an experiment, but they were actually in jail and they weren't allowed to leave. And this really panicked everyone and kind of sent them down a mental rabbit hole. Around this time, 8612 also became very mentally disturbed and was having extreme manic yelling episodes. And in a later interview, he even said that he felt like he had inner demons and that he had never screamed so loud in his life. And it was just the weirdest experience he had ever had. Zimbardo decided to force 8612 as well as a few disturbed others to leave and even temporarily moved the prison location just in case they came back so that it would kind of be different and they would be able to just start the experiment again, but they never did end up coming back. Then prisoner 819 decided that he was done and just wanted to leave too, but instead of asking to leave, he stopped participating in anything and just locked himself in his cell. I think he was a bit confused whether it was still an experiment or not, so he just decided not to ask to leave. And once 819 started talking back and refusing to take part, the guards started punishing other prisoners, which really took away from their individualism and made it really kind of strange. The prisoners got really mad. It was just this really weird phenomenon. And they really started turning on 819 and harassing him. And it's kind of crazy to think about, but some people have suggested that it ended up being run like a dictatorship in the end in this like makeshift prison, because there were certain people with a whole bunch of power and then others were being treated as a group and punished for each other's actions. And they were just kind of like one, seen as one little section. But eventually, prisoner 819 went to Zimbardo and decided to ask to leave, as Zimbardo was giving him his little exit speech, telling him how he would be compensated, thanking him for coming and doing the experiment, etc. The other prisoners started yelling, 819 did a bad thing, over and over and over again. And funny enough, 819 succumbed to the pressure and started crying and telling Zimbardo that he couldn't leave his fellow prisoners and that he actually changed his mind and he was just joking that he wanted to leave. And while 819 was breaking down and crying, Zimbardo kept telling him, this is an experiment, you can leave, over and over again, until he finally had this, like, light bulb moment and realized that he wasn't actually in jail and decided to leave. Zimbardo even said that he could just see, like, a fog clear his mind and his eyes became brighter and everything just kind of, like, a sheet came over him and he just realized that this was actually an experiment. And this was when Zimbardo kind of started to realize that this might be affecting prisoners in a negative way and it wasn't really going to plan. And keep in mind, this was only the fourth day of the experiment and people were already going crazy, having to be sent home and having like these weird manic episodes. However, the experiment continued and they even brought in a new prisoner to fill 819's spot, which was prisoner 416, who was also blindfolded, stripped, and humiliated like everyone else, except that he came with a different mindset and tactic than the others. He decided from the moment that he arrived, he was going to go on a hunger strike and just stay in his cell. And this made the guards really angry. Along with the prisoners' weird behaviors, the guards had also become super power hungry. And when someone disobeyed their rules, they got really upset. So the guards decided that the best thing to do would be to throw him into solitary confinement and have the other prisoners walk by and bang on the door while they would say, thanks a lot, 416, to make him feel guilty for disobeying the guards' rules. So by the end of the fifth day, four prisoners had had mental breakdowns and were forced to leave, and a psychologist had actually come in to visit Zimbardo on the fifth day to see how the experiment was going. She thought it was super interesting, and from the moment she entered the prison, she was mortified. She completely let loose with her emotions and started yelling and arguing with Zimbardo. He really expected her to be impressed and like, whoa, you're so smart, this is such a cool idea with his experiment, but obviously she wasn't, and he was super upset about that. After quite a while of arguing about the ethics of all of it and everything like that, Zimbardo also had this light bulb moment where he actually came to the conclusion that what he was doing was torture, and by day six, the experiment had stopped. So very, very interesting. The thing that really I think shocks people the most is how fast all the effects came into play. Like, it's just crazy how unlike themselves and mentally damaged people were getting. I just can't believe that it happened so fast. And one thing that was really interesting to me is how easily 819 was guilted into staying. And in my research on this case, I've heard a lot of people compare this situation to an abusive relationship, which I think is just fascinating. And as I've talked about in cases in the past, even when some people are aware they're being abused, they just can't leave that situation for some reason, and they just constantly stick up for that person. And I think that this experiment showcases that behavior perfectly. It proves that even when you're being abused, your abuser can somehow make you voluntarily stay. I also have heard people say that people being abused don't want to look like quitters or feel like quitters and give up on this relationship, whether it's a friendship, romantic relationship, or family relationship, even when they know that it's never going to work out, but they just think that it will. Or in this case, 819 and this experiment, he didn't want to give up on the experiment and all his other prison mates. Overall, I just think this experiment was extremely unethical. The idea was there, and it was a very, very interesting concept Zimbardo decided to explore. But it just wasn't done right, it wasn't the way to go. The sample size was super small, and although he didn't plan on becoming the prison superintendent, he should have had another psychologist completely uninvolved and uninvested in the experiment there to supervise. And it just wasn't right to put people through this, even though it was voluntarily. Although I have to say, I don't think anyone could have predicted how much of a wild turn it would have taken so easily. Like, if you think about it, jails are very similar to this. And a lot of the time people in jail do have underlying mental health issues, which these people didn't before they entered the experiment. And maybe that made a difference, but I just can't imagine what it would be like in jail. Like, if this is the kind of stuff that happens in 4 days, what goes on in jail that we don't know about? As you can probably guess, Zimbardo did get a lot of hate for this project, and people were concerned that he had permanently traumatized a bunch of college kids. However, we now know that the experiment has no long-term effects on them, but psychologists were watching them for a very long time. But it might have if it wasn't stopped so soon. Like, what would happen if that psychologist didn't come in and check on them and tell Zimbardo to stop, or if she decided to keep quiet? Like, can you imagine? This might have affected people's lives forever if it wasn't stopped so soon. However, Zimbardo was never criminally or civilly charged, but there were several new laws passed around psychological experiments and just experiments in general that professors and people are allowed to do. But anyways, thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I just found this topic absolutely fascinating. I'm sorry that this episode's a little bit shorter than the usual, but I have a regular sized episode coming next week. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope to see you next Monday on another episode on A Closer Look True Crime Podcast.